Well, take your Bibles this morning and turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. As we're looking at our final message, we've been looking at this series Called Out, and we have seen how God called Noah. We've seen how God called Abraham. We have seen how God called David and Elisha and Nathaniel and Matthew, and we've seen all these individuals that God called. And so today, as we conclude this series, we want to understand and see how God has called us. The call to serve God, the call to make a difference in this world comes to us. When I first came here a little over 5 years ago as pastor, I believe that God gave me a vision for the church, and that vision was to go and grow. And that everything that we do, no matter whether it's our choir ministry, whether it's our senior ministry, whether it's our men's ministry, whether it's our deacon ministry, whether it's our Sunday school ministry, the goal, whether it's our women's ministry, the goal is that everything we do as a church falls under those categories of going and growing. And we're going to look a little bit more at what that means this morning as we look at the call that has been placed on our lives. And, you know, I will never forget my youth Sunday school teacher. And this is also kind of a reminder of how important Sunday school is. Parents, it's important to have your kids in Sunday school. Now, I know y'all don't like getting up early, but this is your kids' future you're talking about. It's important to have your kids in Sunday school. I will never forget my youth. I remember all my Sunday school teachers and the impact that they had on my life. For the longest time, I was the only youth that came, but he came Sunday after Sunday and continued to teach me even though I was the only one. And I'll never forget what he said to me one Sunday. He looked at me one Sunday and said, "All right, next Sunday you're teaching the lesson." And I gave him that deer in the headlights look as if to say, "What did your wife put in your drink for breakfast this morning? Because you were crazy. I'm not teaching." And he's like, "It'll be okay. You can do this. I believe in you." And it was one of the first times that somebody believed in me to take the time to invest in me. And so I taught the next Sunday and everything went well. And he encouraged me that I could do it. He knew there was something in me that I didn't know was there, and he wanted to bring it out. And over the years, there have been many great men of God who have invested in my life and have helped me to grow into the man that I am today. I've had wonderful Sunday school teachers that have invested in my life. I've had incredible pastors and preachers and director of missions that have invested in my life. I've had incredible professors that have taken the time to invest in my life and help me to grow. And there are many who have helped me to go and grow. And now that is what I try to do. I try to help others to grow and go. And I want to ask you to think about who has helped you to grow in your walk with Christ. I want you to think a little bit about that this morning as we have this message. Who has helped you to grow in your walk with Christ? And now the harder question, who are you helping to grow? Who are you helping to grow in their walk with Christ? We've been looking at the lives of individuals who were called out by God and how they stepped up and stepped out. The time has now come for us to see how God calls us out to make disciples. We are called by God to be men and women who go and grow. Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 18, says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this incredible passage that comes from Jesus. And Lord, I pray that these words would echo into our hearts and our heads and our everyday lives, that we would seek to go and grow and become the men and women that you are calling us to be. Lord, I pray that you would strike a passion into our heart to learn more and more about you. Lord, I pray that your incredible, wonderful Holy Spirit would just fill this room this morning and take over completely. Lord, I pray that I would step back and that you would step in and take over, and that everything that is said is in your power and in your spirit and not on my own. And I pray, Lord, that you would move today like never before, that you would touch hearts, that you would touch lives, that you would challenge men, that you would challenge women, and that we would step up and step out and make a difference in this world for you. Lord, I pray that your word would speak volumes into our hearts. I pray that you would encourage where encouraging is needed, and I pray that you will convict where conviction is needed. And I pray that everything is in accordance to your will, Lord. We thank you. We love you. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen. Well, the first thing that we see, and it's important to see this first point before we look at the other two points. And the first point is to understand that Jesus is in charge. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Jesus has risen from the dead. He's getting ready to leave the earth, and he's getting ready to send his Holy Spirit. And as he gets ready to leave, he issues the command to his followers to make a difference in the world by going and growing followers of Jesus. So, do you not think that some of the last words that Jesus spoke before he left this earth would be important? And these are some of the last words that Jesus speaks before he leaves this earth. He says, go and make disciples, baptize them and teach them. And so we see this command of Jesus to go and to grow. He starts by reminding his disciples that he has all authority. Now, it's not just now that he's getting his authority. We know that Jesus has had the authority since the beginning. It's a beautiful reminder to his followers that all authority has been given to him. He has authority in heaven and he has authority in earth. We know that Jesus has had authority since the beginning of time. Jesus says that he has all authority in heaven and earth. And as we think about this, this means that there is no place in the universe outside the rule and reign of Jesus Christ. So think about that for a second. There is absolutely no place on earth, in the universe, outside of the earth, in the heavens. There is absolutely no place where Jesus does not rule and reign. His authority is eternal and everywhere. It also means there is no person outside the rule of Jesus. Not only is there no place outside of the rule of Jesus, but there's no person outside of the rule of Jesus. Every single man, woman, boy, and girl is under the rule and reign of Jesus Christ. And as the Bible tells us, a day is coming when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The heartbreaking thing is that for some, it's going to be too late. There's also no problem outside of the rule of Jesus. So as we think about this, there's no place outside of the rule of Jesus. There's no person outside of the rule of Jesus. And there's no problem outside of the rule of Jesus. Jesus has authority over sin. Amen. How many times in Scripture do we see Jesus forgive sin? You know, we see him throughout time, throughout the Scripture, throughout the Gospels, forgiving sin to the point that they're asking, who gave him this authority? And he says, it's been given to me by the Father so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sin. Jesus has authority over sickness. How many times have we seen him heal? How many different people have we seen him heal? He has brought the lame to walk. He has caused the blind to see. He has called the deaf to come back to life. Jesus has power over sin and authority over sin. And Jesus also has authority over nature. We have seen him walk on water. We have seen him calm the storm. There is absolutely no one, no place, no thing, no problem that is outside the rule and authority of Jesus Christ. And that is incredible. And that is awesome. And that is wonderful. And again, just bear with us as we try to get everything adjusted. There's no place, no person, no problem that Jesus cannot touch. We need to understand who's in charge. Jesus lets his followers know that all authority has been given to him. And since Jesus is in charge of the whole earth, that means he's in charge of our lives. We are not the ones in charge of our lives. We are not the ones in charge of the church. Jesus is. And often we forget that simple truth. Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus is in charge of the church. Jesus is the one that needs to be making the decisions. Jesus is the one that should be leading us, guiding us, and directing us through the incredible power of the wonderful, awesome Holy Spirit of God. Jesus is in charge. How are we doing at listening and obeying what Jesus is saying? How are we doing in our lives at letting Jesus be in charge? How are we doing? Are we doing it our way? Are we doing it in our time? Or are we letting Jesus take control? Are we letting him have complete and total charge? Jesus calls us out for salvation and service. People cannot follow Jesus if they have not given their lives to Jesus. So the first step is to go and make disciples. You cannot follow Jesus. You cannot be a disciple of Jesus if you have not given your heart and your life to Jesus. And so first, we go. In verse 19, he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Now, we know that this passage has been coined the Great Commission. It is the call of Christ to his disciples to continue the mission in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And what's really interesting in this passage is there is only one verb. In verse 19 and 20, the only verb is make disciples. That is the heart. That is the core of what Jesus is saying. And there's three what we call ing words. Like we could say, Cuz was excited by running, jumping, and spinning. And so Jesus says, you make disciples by going, baptizing, and teaching. So going, baptizing, and teaching are all encompassed in the concept of making disciples. And so the first thing is we make disciples by going. We are to go. And what I'm about to say might hurt a little bit, but it is the truth of the gospel. Jesus never expected the church to sit around and wait for people to come in. He expects that his followers will go and tell people about Jesus. It was never the role of Jesus for church members to come in Sunday mornings, sit in a pew, hear a message, go home, and do absolutely nothing for the kingdom of God. He called us to go. He has called us to get outside of the walls. He has told us to leave the premises, to leave the building, and to make a difference in the world. When it comes to following Jesus, in order to make disciples, they need to give their life to Christ. This is, we are to evangelize. Somehow, in our culture and our society, we have gotten it in our heads that that's the job of the pastor, to tell people about Jesus and get them saved. No, it's not. We have thought, well, that's the job of the deacons, to tell people about Jesus and get them saved. No, it's not. Jesus Christ says it's the job of a disciple. So if you're here this morning and you're a disciple of Christ, then it's your job to tell people about Jesus. It's not my job as pastor to tell people about Jesus. It's my job as a disciple of Christ to tell people about Jesus. Because I'm a disciple of Christ, that's why I'm to tell people about Jesus Christ. We are to evangelize. We are to take the message of Jesus to the world and show them that he is the only way to heaven. And when they say yes to him, that is the only way they become a disciple. And it's incredible to think about that. God allows us to play a part in what he's doing in the world. We are to go and share. We are to go to the grocery stores and tell people about Jesus. We are to go to the outskirts of town and tell people about Jesus. We are to go to the unwanted and the unloved and tell them about Jesus. We are to go to other places in the state and tell them about Jesus. We are to go to other places in the country and tell them about Jesus. And we are to go to the ends of the earth and tell them about Jesus. If we think about it, in South Carolina alone, there are 3.6 to 8 million people that are lost. It's impossible for just the pastors to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It takes every single Christian, every single man, woman, boy, and girl of God to make a difference. The command for followers of Jesus to go into the world and tell people about Jesus is so big. And here's what's really cool. This command is so big that it shows up in all four Gospels and Acts. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go therefore into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you, even to the end of the age. Mark 16, 15. Then he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Luke 24, 47 and 48, and repentance for forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed in his name to all the nations beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. John 20, 21, Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, also I send you. Acts 1, 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Wow. All four Gospels and Acts has the Great Commission. That's how important it is. That's how important these words of Jesus are. Here's what a few commentaries say. A disciple is one who repents of sin, trusts in Jesus for salvation, and obeys his teachings. Another just says, discipleship is the key element of God's kingdom agenda. It is the visible manifestation of God's comprehensive rule over every area of life. The effectiveness of the church is therefore evaluated, not in the number of its members, but by its disciple making. It's the absence of discipleship that keeps a church impotent and ineffective, because by not taking up Christ's mission of discipleship, its people cannot draw on Christ's authority. We accomplish disciple making by going, baptizing, and teaching. To make disciples, then, you must go, leave your holy huddle, take your witness with you into the world, and share the gospel. Another commentary says, with the same authority, Jesus still commands us to tell others the good news and make them disciples for the kingdom. We are to go, whether it is next door or to another country, and make disciples. It's not an option, but a command to all who call Jesus Lord. And one final says, the central responsibility of the disciple is to reproduce themselves, to make more disciples. The other activities, go, baptize, teach, essentially describe how a disciple is made. Our world is in desperate need of disciples making disciples. When we give our lives to Jesus, we become a disciple. As a disciple, we are called into the world to make disciples of all the nations. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Praise be to God that a disciple of Jesus is not limited to just the Jews. If it was limited to just the Jews, then only Jews could be saved. Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations. Again, this helps us to see that all people on earth are created in the image of God. Every single man, every single woman, every single boy, every single girl, regardless of country, regardless of origin, every single human being has been created in the image of God. And so we are to go and make disciples of all nations. We don't get to choose. We are to make disciples of all nations. I think I figured out the problem. I may put this thing on upside down. Let's see if this works better. said, it's going to take a week or so to get everything figured out, so be patient with us. Okay, and so as we think about this, I am so grateful that no matter where we're from, we can be disciples of Jesus Christ. You can be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I can be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Everyone can be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And that is incredible, and that is great news, and that is amazing, and that is wonderful. Jesus says, make disciples of all nations. Everyone who calls on Christ for salvation are called to be a disciple. The message of Jesus is open to all people from all backgrounds to come to faith in Jesus Christ. It is clear to see that anyone can be a follower of Jesus. After all, he called Matthew and Paul. If Jesus can call Matthew and Paul to be a disciple, does that not make sense that he can call anybody else? There is no person that God does not want to come to him. There is no person that is beyond the reach of salvation. We are to go all over the world and tell them about Jesus. This is why the Annie Armstrong Easter offering and the Lottie Moon Christmas offering are so important. Because when we give to these offerings, we are helping men and women preach the gospel around the world. The Annie Armstrong Easter offering focuses on North America. So that includes the United States and Canada, and trying to reach people with the message of Jesus Christ in this area. The Lottie Moon Christmas offering is focused on international missions. And when we give to these offerings, the money goes to missionaries who are serving on the field, on the front lines, telling people about Jesus Christ. And so we are to go and to make a difference. Well, Jesus also says that we are to baptize. When someone says yes to Jesus, they are to be baptized. We need to understand what baptism is and its significance. Baptism doesn't save us. You don't have to be baptized in order to get to heaven. The Bible is very clear that the only way to heaven is through the precious blood of Jesus shed on the cross, period. Baptism does not save us. Baptism says, I am saved. It is an outward expression of the change that has happened within. So when I get up here and I am baptized, I am saying I am a Christian. I've given my heart and my life to Christ, and I'm proud of it. And I want everybody else to know. I want the world to know that I belong to Jesus. That's what baptism is. It is a symbol of dying, being buried, and rising again. That is why we believe in baptism by immersion. I have never in all my years seen a funeral director or someone burying a grave sprinkle dirt on somebody. It doesn't work that way. So sprinkling water ain't baptizing. Because the Greek word means to fully immerse. Baptismo means to fully immerse. That's why we baptize by immersion, because it is a symbol of you being dead, being buried in the ground, and then being resurrected as Jesus was. And so you are saying, I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I believe he is my Lord and Savior. I have given my heart and my life to him, and now I want everybody else to know what he's done for me. That is what baptism is. Baptism shows the world that we have been saved by the awesome grace of God. If you have given your life to Christ and you've never been baptized, I'd like to encourage you to come and talk to me about the possibility of being baptized. Now, not only are we called to go and tell people about Jesus, but we're also called to help them grow. We go, make disciples and baptize, and we grow, we teach. Verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We are called to service. We are called to teach. When a person gives their life to Christ, we cannot just leave them where they are. We are to invest in their lives and help them to grow in their walk with Jesus. Sadly, and this happened to me at one point in time in my life, sadly, we have a tendency, we get people to confess faith in Jesus Christ, we get them to be baptized, we get them on the church roster to boost up our members, and then we just leave them alone to figure it out by themselves. That is not the way of Christ. We are to disciple them. When somebody comes to faith in Jesus Christ, we are to invest in their lives. We are to help them to grow. We are to teach them to observe all things that Jesus has commanded them. We are to teach them to believe the Bible, to know the Bible, to understand the Bible, and to grow in the Bible. We are to teach them how to live their lives. The Bible says that older men are to teach younger men, and the Bible says that older women are to teach younger women. The reason that we have so many men running around acting like boys is because real men have not invested in their lives, because real men ain't even running their families. Amen. I don't know how many times I'm told, whatever my wife says, that's what we're going to do. The Bible says that the husband, that the man is the spiritual leader in the family. He is the one that should be. Men, you need to get your family to Sunday school. If you love your children, men, you need to bring them to Sunday school. You need to get out of bed and bring them to Sunday school. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. And you know what? We need some more Sunday school teachers. So if these men are going to start bringing their kids to Sunday school, we need some people saying, I'm willing to teach these kids. We need some people that's willing to say, I'll invest in their lives. I'll teach them and train them. Because we can't have them all in the adult class. I mean, we'll try, but it's not going to work that good. We need to be teaching and training them to be the men and women that they've called them to be. And women, when we look around our world and we see the way these younger women are acting and dressing and the people that they are getting hooked up with, and we complain about how they dress and how short their skirts are and how low their tops are. Well, the reason that is because Christian women are not investing in the lives of young women, as the Bible said. So I'm not just picking on the men. It falls on all of us. We have all been called to make disciples. We have all been called to invest in people's lives. Men are to teach their families about following Jesus. Men, do you have Bible studies with your family at home? Do you sit down with your wives and kids and read the Bible with them, having a family time of devotion? We are to teach them to obey the words of God. And here's the thing. You cannot teach what you do not know. None of you would want me to come and show you how to fix your John Deere tractor. Number one, you're going to be taking me to the hospital because I'm going to lose a hand. And number two, your John Deere tractor probably ain't going to run like a deer no more. You don't want me to fix something because I don't know how to. You cannot teach your family to follow Christ if you're not following Christ. You cannot help your family grow in their walk with Christ if you're not growing in your walk with Christ. You cannot invest in someone else's life if you don't have somebody invested in your life. That's why it's so important for us to come together and grow together. We need someone to invest in our lives. We need to obey the commands of God and not cave into the culture or the ways of the world. Sadly, we see too many churches, too many Christians, too many men, too many women caving in to the world and the culture and going against what the Bible says. The Bible has very clear standards. And we are to know those standards and we are to teach those standards. And there are certain things that are wrong no matter how we look at it. And yes, sometimes it gets me in trouble when I preach the Bible, but I'm going to continue to preach the Bible because the Bible is the Word of God, and we need to understand that certain things are wrong and we need to teach them as wrong. Amen. Homosexuality is wrong. There's no other way to look at it. Abortion is wrong. There's no other way to look at it. And this one is very unpopular, but it's the Bible. Racism is wrong, and there's no other way to look at it. These things we see in the Bible, and we are to teach them and to train them, and we are to help one another to go and to grow. And I want to ask you, who are you teaching? Who are you teaching? And who is teaching you? I want to issue a challenge today. If you're here this morning and you're like, you know what? I am willing to invest in someone's life. I want you to see me or tell me, hey, I'd like to invest in someone's life. And the reason why I'm doing that is because of this next thing. If you're here this morning and you don't have somebody invested in your life, I want you to let me know. I don't have anybody invested in my life. And what I want to do is I want to start pairing up people. And you can invest in each other's lives. Discipleship is crucial. Discipleship is important. And I will never forget the words of the great Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who said, Christianity without discipleship is always Christianity without Christ. Because Jesus said, go make disciples. So if we are not investing in someone's lives, we are directly disobeying a command that Jesus left before he left this earth. And that is what's wrong with our country. That is what's wrong with our churches. That is what's wrong with our world, is we are not making disciples. We are getting people saved. We're getting them on the roster. We're getting their cemetery plots. And then we're just leaving them alone to figure things out on their own. Discipleship is crucial. It is my goal. It has always been my goal to build discipleship into all that we do as a church. This is why Sunday night and Wednesday nights is designed the way it is. If you've never been to a Sunday night or a Wednesday night Bible study, it is designed around discipleship. The whole purpose is for us to invest in each other's lives, to help each other grow, to be the men and women that God has called us to be, to make a difference in the church, to make a difference in the world. If you can't make Wednesday night or Sunday night, or if you can't make it to Sunday school, I've always challenged you, pick one. Now I understand not everybody can make it to all three. And if you can't make it to one of those three, let me know. I will meet you at the church at another time, or I'll come to you. That's how important discipleship is. That's how important it is for us to go and to grow. I want each of us to go and to grow. I want us to go and tell others about Jesus and help them grow in their walk with Christ. But in order for us to do this, we need to be growing in our walk as well. We need to be the men and women that God has called us to be. And you know what? Here's the best part. We don't have to do it alone. Because the last thing Jesus says is, and lo, I am with you always, even till the end of the age. Making disciples is hard. It's not easy to go and grow. Good thing for us, Jesus said he'd be with us. Jesus says, I'm with you always. There is nowhere that you and I can go that Jesus is not with us. It's a great reminder to know that Jesus will always be there. When we give our lives to him, we are given the wonderful Spirit of Holy God to live in us. There is nothing. There is absolutely nothing that you and I cannot do in the power of the Holy Spirit. You might be here and say, well, I'm not a gifted teacher. You don't have to be to invest in a person's life. The gift of teaching is more for those who speak and teach publicly. But everybody can teach on an individual level. Everybody can sit down and read the Bible with somebody else and talk about it. And we might say, well, I'm just not gifted. I don't know what to say. And we can make up every excuse in the book. Jesus says, you don't have no excuse because I've given you my Spirit. Because the greatest teacher is the Spirit of God. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe in education. If I didn't, I wouldn't be working on my doctorate. But that's not what gives me the ability to preach and teach. What gives me the ability to preach and teach is the Holy Spirit of Holy God. Because without the Spirit of Holy God, what I say would be meaningless. It would just be words. I'd be like Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13 about spiritual gifts. If you don't use your spiritual gifts in love, you're just a clanging cymbal. Yeah, would you guys like to come here one Sunday morning and I just sit here the whole service and clang a cymbal? Yeah, most of us would probably leave. Now, some of us might be like, yeah. But for the most part, we wouldn't like this at all. Well, the same is true with preaching and teaching apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the Spirit of God to teach. We need the Spirit of God to preach. We need the Spirit of God teaching us what to do and where to go. And that's all we need. Because when the Spirit of Holy God comes in us and takes control, He will give us the words to say. He will tell you what to say. He will tell you what to do. I don't know the number of conversations that I've been like, I don't even know what I said. But it was exactly what the person needed. That is the beauty and the power of the Spirit of God. We can go make disciples. We can get them baptized. And we can teach them to follow the path of Jesus. We can't do this on our own, but we can do this in the power that comes from the Holy Spirit living in us. The call of us is to go and grow. Are you ready? Are you ready to make a difference? Just as the people we've looked at were called out by God to make a difference in this world, so are you and I called to make a difference. Are we living our lives as different makers? Are we making a difference in the world? What is God saying to us? Are we letting Jesus be the authority of our lives? That's the first question. Because if Jesus is not in control, we can't go and grow. Because we go and grow in the authority of Jesus Christ. Is Jesus authority in our lives? Or are we still doing what we want? Number two, are we going to make disciples? Are we getting outside of our comfort zone? Are we getting outside of our holy huddles? Are we trying to make a difference in the world? Are we going? Are we trying to help people grow? And finally, are we teaching others to grow? Are we invested in people's lives? We have somebody invested in ours. As we have our time of invitation, I want to challenge you with what I said. If you're willing to invest in somebody's life, let me know. If you want somebody to invest in your life, let me know. And we'll make something work. And if you can't make it Sunday night or Wednesday night, then we'll pick another time. I mean, if the only time that you have is 2 a.m. on a Saturday morning, well, I'll set an alarm. That's how important discipleship is. We need to go and we need to grow. We need to make a difference. Lord, I just thank you for this beautiful passage that you give us. I thank you for these incredible words of Jesus that have been given to our hearts. And I pray, Lord, that we would hear them, and I pray that we would heed them, and I pray that we would be men and women who go and grow, who make a difference in our world for you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to find someone to invest in our lives. I pray that you would help us to invest in other lives, and I pray that you would help us to be a people that understand our need to go and grow. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen.